virtually every single bank in the world lends with interest. There's not a single financial institution in virtually any country that will think twice about charging additionally for a loan. So why is it that the Torah frowns upon rivis so heavily? Why does the Torah and the Mishnah and the Gemara elaborate so much about the severity of charging interest? What is it about charging interest, about charging ribis, that's so terribly bad? Both parties agree. Nobody's getting ripped off. How is charging ribis any different than marking up the price of a sack of potatoes to make a profit? Why is one considered financially unethical and the other is just business as usual? And to compound the question, the name the Torah uses for interest is neshech, and the Baal HaTur explains that the name is derived from the word nachash, the snake, meaning to say that lending with interest is tantamount to causing one to get bitten by a snake. And the question is, in what way? And why specifically a snake of all animals? Why don't we compare it to the touch of a poison dart frog, or the sting of a killer wasp, or getting your leg bitten by a great white shark? So the Kli Yakar gives the following explanation. We know that Hashem does not benefit at all from the world or its inhabitants. He just created us purely to give good to us. And the ultimate good is spiritual pleasure, which emanates from Hashem himself. The more we connect ourselves to him, the more of this pleasure we receive. In a utopian perfect world, Hashem wants nothing more than to give us pleasure, and he has no problem giving us all the food and money we need on a silver platter. In fact, that is the life Adam and Chava were living in Gan Eden. That lifestyle was doubly good. First of all, he had all his needs taken care of by Hashem. And secondly, he therefore had the closest of relationship with him. It was immensely obvious to Adam and Chava that the goodness was coming from Hashem, which then heightened their appreciation of Hashem, which in turn strengthened their relationship with him, which in turn added to their spiritual pleasure. Basically, in short, life was fantastic. Then, Adam sinned. And he ate from the Eitz Hadas, from the forbidden fruit. And being that he breached his relationship with Hashem, his punishment was that the heavenly kitchen essentially offering him three meals a day was now closed. And he had to work for his food. And this was a twofold punishment. Number one, he no longer got his needs handed to him directly from Hashem. And number two, he no longer saw Hashem's direct hand in all areas of his life, which in turn lessened his recognition and appreciation of Hashem, which in turn tarnished his relationship with Hashem, which in turn lessened the pleasure of his existence. Basically, in short, life got significantly less pleasurable spiritually, and this was mankind's destiny for the duration of history as we know it. We would now have to work to sustain ourselves, and Hashem's involvement in our lives would be much harder to perceive. But our saving grace that would guarantee, at the very least, a built-in small relationship with Hashem was that we would still need to come onto Hashem for our food to grow and our business to prosper. Even though a farmer now has to plant his crops and a salesman now has to sell his product, he isn't entirely cut off from his relationship with Hashem because he still needs to daven that his crops grow and that his product sells. And the same is true with all avenues of income. All except one, and that's ribis. Lending with interest is guaranteed profit to the point where it cuts out God from the equation. There is no praying that the crops will grow. There's no davening that customers will show up. There's no davening that the business deal will go through. It is merely lending and getting free money in return. God is entirely out of the picture. One who lives a life independent of Hashem is missing out on the ultimate pleasure that our world has to offer. Dependency on Hashem isn't merely a way to please Hashem so he gives you more pleasure. It is pleasure in and of itself. It is our soul realigning with its true self. It is our eternal neshama connecting to infinity. The snake that persuaded Adam and Chava to sin was given a peculiar punishment. He was told, beginning now until the end of time, you will eat the dust of the earth. Now you might ask, what's so devastating about this punishment? An animal doesn't care what it eats. With this punishment, the snake now has the whole world to eat. Wherever he goes, he finds food. What type of punishment is that? The answer is that his retribution is the fact that he is cut off from God forever. There's no relying on Hashem for the grass to grow. There's no dependency on Hashem to send deer and fish to prey on. There's merely spiritless dirt. We call Ribbis Neshech, symbolizing a snake, for that is what the snake represents, living life godless. Banks all over the world have no problem charging interest because for them, money is an end, not a means. We believe there is something far more meaningful. Our relationship with Hashem is what's dearest to us, and we vigorously avoid detractors from that relationship. When we suffered a terrible plague in the Midbar, Aaron HaKohen took a staff with a snake circling it and ran into the middle of the camp, holding it up for all to see. And he was sending the message to never forget the mistake of the snake, to never forget that our connection to Hashem is what's paramount. Nowadays, ambulances and hospital logos also bear a symbol, a logo of a snake, because it symbolizes the desperate need in times of health crisis to bolster our relationship with Hashem, because that's what brings true healing and health. I was once reading Parak Shira, which is the listing of the spiritual DNA of all the living creatures in the world, and I was going through all the animals, and I was amazed at what the snake says. The pasuk that the snake belts out when it's his turn to sing Hashem's praises is Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei. Soimech Hashem l'chol anoiflim paiseach es yadecha u'maspia l'chuchayretzein. I was shocked. The snake, out of all the possible angles of praising Hashem, proclaims Hashem as the true source of nourishment. The snake, who was given nothing but dirt to consume, is the one telling us how great Hashem is. Soimech Hashem l'chol anoiflim paiseach es yadecha u'maspia l'chuchayretzein. He sustains all life. After centuries of being cut off from Hashem, the snake finally belts out loud and proud, Hashem is the ultimate source of good. A young man once asked an old rich man how he made his money, and the old man straightened his designer glasses and said, "Well, son, it was 1932, the depth of the Great Depression, and I was down to my last nickel, and I invested that nickel in an apple, and I spent the entire day polishing the apple. And at the end of the day, I sold the apple for 10 cents. And the next morning, I invested those 10 cents in two apples. And I spent the entire day polishing them, and I sold them at 5 o'clock for 20 cents. And I continued this system for a month, and by the end of which I accumulated a fortune of $1.37. "Wow," the young man said. "And then what happened?" "And then my wife's father died and left us $2 million. Because we all put in the grind to succeed, but ultimately it's Hashem who supports us. And the sooner we come to that conclusion, the richer our relationship with Him will be, because on our side of Wall Street, that's the only thing that really matters."